Welcome to Black Dog Diaries, a collection of six conversations about depression between people who have had depression. We aren't experts in the field, nor are we offering medical advice. We're simply sharing our own experiences as we manage depression and our mental health. We hope to illustrate that you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, to remind you that you're not alone in your mental health struggles, and to leave you with some great things to do to look after your mental health. Please watch out for naughty language and dark subjects. In episode 4 of 6, we talked to Craig Harriman about taking 7 months to tell anyone he was depressed because he didn't want to burden people, about adding newborn stress on top of business stress and life stress, and about sitting in his car after work, not wanting to drive home. Craig is 33 and is a coach at and co-owner of Base 3 Gym. As a result of proposing to me 10 years ago, he and I now live, work, and raise our 10-month-old son, Freddie, together. So, Craig.
Yeah.
What is up?
A couple of weeks ago, you came to me. We were sitting in the kitchen. And you said you wanted to talk about something.
Yeah.
Which is never a nice way to start a conversation.
Yeah, don't start conversations.
Between a couple.
Yeah. Usually think the worst, right? You go straight to the worst normally.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I wouldn't have thought it was that you were going to tell me that you were...
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
What was going through your head?
I don't know. Oh.
Actually, but it wasn't that. Was your head, were you just like, shit? Because as you said, it's a dodgy way to start a conversation.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
I can't remember what it was, but I didn't think it was this. Because you hadn't been acting weird at all. Not that you act weird when you're depressed.
No, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was just very surprised that you had said that you were feeling depressed and it had been quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weekend night, eh? It was, I think we'd had like a nice day and I felt like I was going to ruin it by... speaking to you was the first time I ever said anything about it to anybody. But it had been a while that I had been suffering with this. And by this, I mean what I would class as depression, I think.
It was undiagnosed.
Undiagnosed, right? Depression. Yeah. And I think I'm in the position where I know enough about health and mental health just from being in the health and fitness space that I could identify it myself. I'm like, oh, yep, this is definitely depression, just based on, like, I know you spoke about it before and I spoke to other people about it, or just, like, observing things. I was just like, oh, yeah, you're definitely depressed, dude, for sure. This had been going on by the time I told you for maybe like, I've said like 8 months, because pretty much since Freddie came along.
Sorry, just to interrupt that for you. When you thought to yourself, oh, this was, depression, I guess, were you like, shit, something's wrong, I need to fix this, or?
No.
Or were you scared, essentially? Were you scared?
No, not at the time. I'd say there was like 3 notable times when I'm like, when I'd been through like serious bouts of depression.
Yeah.
And it was afterwards. So it'd be like the next day or a couple of days later, I'd catch myself being like, no, this is not normal. Yeah, this is not you. You're just down. Like, this is that. But during it, no.
Yeah, okay.
Just think like everything's fucked during it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Know,
Go on. So why did it take you so long to tell me?
So I was apprehensive about doing this because I didn't want to put my suffering on other people, and we're obviously like, as a family unit, raising the kid and running a business and trying to manage our relationship and all those other things, and I just felt like putting this thing that I'm struggling with onto someone else's plate is just going to add stress or pressure onto that situation. I just didn't feel like it'd be fair to ask someone else to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
Which is why I was apprehensive about doing this, or I don't know if apprehensive, or just I didn't know if it was a good idea to share this information, because it's probably just going to be listened to by our gym community mostly. And I just feel like people see me as this strong role model to the community and this leader and this like this alpha male who doesn't struggle with depression. So then putting that on people, not because of fear of what they'd think of me, but fear is I don't want people to feel sorry for me or people to
worry about
me or whatever, because I'm good, I'm fine. But that's why I just didn't want to talk about it, and that's why I didn't want to put that on you as well.
Speaking from somebody who you were projecting your thoughts onto, it didn't get accepted, received that way. Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I wish you hadn't have told me, now I need to worry about your depression. I was very relieved that you had told me. And so anybody out there who is struggling to talk, the person who you're going to talk to will not think that.
What was your reasoning then for doing the podcast?
So when I brought it up to Em, it'd been like weeks that I wanted to say something, just because I was struggling more with it and I felt like I need to say something. And the person that has the most vested in me was Em, and obviously I share everything with Em. So I felt like she was the one person I could speak to. And it took me weeks to build up, I guess, the courage to be able to bring it up.
Mm.
And that was really hard. And even when I spoke to Em about it, I probably told her like half of it. And that was like really hard to bring that up, and it felt really good saying it, like after. I felt like this immense relief just saying like even like half of it. And then later on I spoke to another friend about it and told him more of it, and it's just like the first time these words come out of your mouth, it's just really like emotional and hard and difficult to say. But once you've said it, you feel like, okay, I feel so much better just by saying that. And you worry about how people are going to receive it, not because they're going to judge you, or I wasn't worried about how they're going to judge you, but how they would receive that, because it's kind of heavy to put on people. But when people receive it really well, because anyone who loves you is going to care about you and receive it really well.
Yes.
I felt much better after saying it to people. And then that kind of made me think, okay, I wasn't sure about doing this because it's quite heavy to put on the community, and I just want to protect my community, so sharing like really dark thoughts with them doesn't seem like a conducive way to do that. But it does help me to share these things, and if sharing this information with the community that I do love and want to protect sees me being vulnerable, is helpful to them, or anyone else that's struggling with it, then maybe that will help them, or someone else will decide that I'll share. And that's kind of why I'm happy to do it.
Yeah,
this might be a silly question/ wondering, do you think that most males similar to you, like in a similar stature, I guess, would find it difficult to talk to other people for the same reasons? Do you think it's like a common feeling amongst
males to talk to?
I mean I'm sure there are some women who would feel the same way,
yeah,
but I'm just thinking specifically like male, because Craig is male.
Yeah.
So like alpha kind of leader, big strong.
I think for me, there was a fear of how people are going to react, not for how they're going to react towards me, but for themselves. Like, it was just I don't want to worry people, I don't want people stressed, I don't want people worrying about me. But I'm sure a lot of people have their fear of embarrassment, fear of weakness, fear of insecurity, fear of there's many reasons, but I think it all stems from being scared to speak about it for whatever's fueling that fear.
Right.
But usually it's like being scared to talk about it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it seems, because I've had a couple of these conversations recently, it's actually crazy how you'll have conversations with many different people and they'll all come up with something. It might not be depression, but they'll come up with their own thing that's like similar to some sort of like... Yeah. Not mental illness, but they have their own issues and things going on. I forgot what I was going to say. What were you talking about?
Fear of sharing it.
Oh, yes. So everybody hears talk about it. And I feel like everyone accepts that for other people, but when it comes back to you them, and it's you that's having to do it, it's a really massive deal.
Well, so this happened after... I told you and spoke about it, but there was the Paddy the Batty, UFC fighter. He lost a friend to suicide, and he had this real like emotional, just saying like in his really thick Scouse accent, I wish guys would just talk about it. It's just talk. And I was like, yeah, it's so true. Cause by this point I'd had that conversation twice, and you'd think like, it's so scary. It's so hard. It was so hard to bring it. I was like, real nervous and like shaking, bring it up to you, my wife, the most supportive person I have in my life. And it was really difficult to do. But it was only good things have come from talking about it, and I only feel better for doing it. And it's just crazy to think that I was so worried about bringing it up for fear of scaring or hurting people that it actually ended up being a really positive thing talking about it.
Can I ask, like, what you spoke about?
Well, here, so
like, what was the, like, why were you depressed? Essentially,
here's the, like, the kind of the full story is when we, since we've had Freddie. Best thing that's ever happened to me, best thing that's ever happened to us, this amazing thing that's been brought into our life, but that's also come with a whole bunch of stress, and there's a lot of like business pressure, where we own a business that's our full income, we don't have like another job, our whole household is dependent on the success of a brick and mortar fitness business, which post COVID is a difficult gig.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stress that comes with that. You add a little baby bear into the situation and that just magnifies the stress tenfold, because it was before of like, if we lose our jobs or the gym fails or whatever, it's like, okay, cool, we'll go and find jobs. But now there's this hole where you don't have that room to fail, and you don't have, you have to buy nappies and feed the baby, and like all that shit just makes it way more serious. And when you then you have like a tough month with the business or a tough financial stress, that's just magnified because you're thinking, fuck, I've got to provide for this kid. So that kind of fuels it, and it's all this like stress and pressure from that just builds up, and that just becomes really overwhelming. And like, none of that's new. Like, we've been business owners for 5 years and had hard times, but we've always managed to, I've always managed to stay very optimistic and find ways to get around it. But I think the more dire the situation gets, and then you add in a third person who you love more than anything else in the world, and your job is to provide for that person, that adds a lot of stress. And then the other thing was my, like my own doubts in myself about being a father. And there was some, like really early on, there was some a couple times where like I lost it with Freddie, just because I was like, why the fuck is this kid crying? There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. And then to myself, which, again, I'm sure it's perfectly normal and all new dads go through that, but at the time I just felt like the worst person in the world. I'm like, oh my God. I never said anything or like shouted at him or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I was just like having these thoughts of just, and again, it's the stress and the pressure, and we were probably tired because we weren't sleeping, and just thinking like, you are the biggest shithead ever. Why are you like getting stressed about this kid?
I actually remember that day that I came into the gym and you came up to me. I think I'd said, oh, how was your weekend? Which seemed a weird question.
As you live together.
it was something about the weekend anyways. And I had thought that it was a nice weekend. And Craig started crying and was like, I had like a really bad weekend. I was like, what? I had no idea.
Yeah.
And he just said how shitty he felt because he had had these thoughts about Freddie. Like, what are we doing? Why did we have a baby?
Yeah.
He'd had these negative thoughts about Freddie, and he was feeling so bad about having these negative thoughts that it had just absolutely ruined him. Yeah. And he was really, really upset about it. And there were just, I remember a couple of things along the way that I noticed that's really not overreactive, but like that's a really massive response to something that would just be a normal stress, and you'd maybe be like, oh, shit, that was really that was really hard or annoying or whatever, but it was like a really overreactive
reaction.
That was probably that was the first notable time that I'd say I was depressed, like that week or that weekend of having those thoughts. And they were self-driven. It was like me drilling myself or being like, why are you such a shit dad? Like,
but so we've been talking about like Freddie was born 9 months ago. And so you said that it took a really long time for you to tell me. Am I right or wrong in saying that it started off as just a couple of stressful things and it kind of snowballed over time to a point where it snapped, where you snapped?
Snap's a strong word. Like, so I'd say they got progressively, when I say these again, these bouts of depression where they're like stints of like a period of like a week to 10 days of just feeling really down and really shit and like really overwhelmed and thinking, how the fuck are we going to get through this, da 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 da, and they got progressively worse over time. So that was the first one that week with Fred. That was the only one that was like Freddie related. And I think there was that was probably about 2 months after he was born, and then probably like every maybe 6 weeks after that ongoing was like another one, like another cycle, but they weren't related to him. They were more like work stress or business stress.
Well, I guess it kind of like
it all ties in.
All, yeah, it's like, all affecting you, so me, it's all piling up on you.
For me, Yeah, exactly. I'm responsible for the gym and what goes in and out of the gym, and then what comes out of the gym is what puts food on our table. So it is all related, and that's where the stress comes from. But yeah, definitely kind of like work fueled for the most part, or which is, again, just fuels our lifestyle. So that's where most of the stress comes from.
So being stressed is one thing. When did you realize that it was like you were depressed?
Well, like I said, I'm pretty clued on to what intuitive depression, like, is. So right. Like after I spoke to you, like, yeah, after I realized, it's like, oh, that's you being depressed. That's,
yeah,
that's depression. And then, like I said, that was the first one, and then it got worse after that, and that's when it started to build up. And it's been like a real rough 9 months, or, well, say 7 months, 2 months after it was born. And then it just kind of like built up and built up, and every session was worse and worse and worse. And then until I spoke to you about it, was the only time it started feeling better. So for the last like 7 months, it's just been this progressively, yeah, darker cloud that's been building and getting worse and worse and harder to manage. And that's when it got to the point where I felt like I had to say something.
That is a very long time though, like what, 6-7 months,
yeah,
till you told them. Yeah. 2 months after, till you told them, it's been 7 months.
7 months.
Okay, so that 7 months is a long time for, yeah, this snowball effect to happen. Like, that'll take a toll on someone, especially that hasn't experienced it per se.
Yeah, and it wasn't constant. Like, there were times, yeah, when it was much worse. Like I said, in that 7 months, there's probably been like three really notable periods where I'm just like, what the fuck are we gonna do? Like, this is,
those periods, how long are they roughly?
Like, I'd say days, a couple of days, a week. Okay, max.
But still, so like, so that from the first time, then you might feel better and happier after a few days,
yeah,
and then the second time comes that, but you're obviously, the first time adds on to the second time,
yeah,
right? So there's a big,
yeah,
progressively, like, 7 months is a long time, yeah, to feel like that,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's tough,
it's not been fun,
yeah, no, for sure, hard.
So
you handled it pretty well though, not that I know, but I mean, like, from,
no,
what I can,
like, you handling
from,
it,
but
well,
from what I can see.
Yeah, like, that's the
on
thing.
The outside, you've handled it well, right?
Outwardly, like, no one would know. Like, yeah, I'm sure you were surprised. My other friend that I spoke to, he was surprised. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure I'd be surprised for people to hear this, because you don't walk around.
No, yeah, yeah.
You don't,
yeah,
walk, yeah, around looking like a sad, yeah, person, yeah, when you've got depression necessarily. So, yeah, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people would be quite shocked and surprised to hear this. But, mm, yeah.
Have you been depressed before?
No. Not.
Do you feel?
Not that I can remember.
So you haven't felt like this
before? I've never felt like this, and maybe I have, but it was never like a, I don't know, notable or memorable. Mm. Like, maybe I've been sad before, but never like, yeah, depressed.
Yeah, so, yeah, do you feel that you have ways of managing? So you're in this thing.
Yeah.
So you,
have you
helping, talking to Emma helped?
Talking helps, but I think,
was there anything else?
Yeah, the main thing for me is like, so I've had a couple of bouts of depression over the last 7 months, which I think were pretty serious. Like, so there were times when, instead of coming straight home from finishing work, I'd just sit in my car,
yeah,
in the garage above the gym, and just like thinking about how I can get out of this. And it was like just thinking, how can I drive into a wall as fast as I can just to end all this shit now?
Yeah.
And I'd sit in the car like crying after work at night, instead of coming home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To Em and Freddie, like this amazing like family I've got at home, and that's what snapped me out of it. And that happened like multiple times. There'd be times when like I'd finish work, instead of coming home, I'm just going to sit in the car and cry.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that.
No,
but
the thing that got me through that, and obviously this was a long time before I spoke to you about it, and that happened multiple times, is thinking, I've got these guys at home, I've got Emma at home, I've got Freddie at home, and I kind of snap out of it.
You're good.
Pull me back. But yeah, because like, obviously, I mean, having suicidal thoughts doesn't necessarily mean I was suicidal. I think there's a big difference between like actually considering doing something harmful to yourself and just thinking like, I'm too overwhelmed to deal with this. How do I get out of it? I'm just thinking, just drive really, really fast into a wall and then just don't have to deal with it anymore. And then you go, no, Freddie needs you, Em needs you.
Yeah,
like, you hear there's people that need you. There's, and then obviously, like, bigger picture now, there's like family and there's other people that would probably miss you. But and that just kind of pulls me through. So I think doesn't matter how heavy or dark that feeling was, there's always something more positive, there's always something like, I've got Freddie, I've got Em, I've got a family to come home to. And I think having something really positive to attach yourself to is the best way to guide you out of really dark times. And then I think talking about it was the most helpful thing. But during it, you're not going to like come home and be like, oh, just thought about killing myself tonight. Yeah, how's your day?
Of course.
You just kind of like get on with it and like, kind of wrongfully probably try and deal with it yourself and find ways to push
it. Like sweep under the rug or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, for the reasons I didn't want to put this pressure on other people, which I think now thinking about it, say, is probably really common. Like I said, the fear of like being embarrassed or whatever it is probably a reason men don't talk about it. But I think probably more so is a lot of time people don't want to put that on other people. Like, it's, you received it really well, but you never know. Like, there was, when I was going through this, I thought about talking to people and I thought, I can't put this pressure on him. It's not fair. We've got so much other shit going on and she's super tired because she's raising a kid. I can't put that extra pressure on her. And I thought about telling another friend and I was just like, no, he's probably just going to not have how to deal with it, or he's got his own shit going on. And you just think you don't want to burden other people with this really dark thing that you want to talk about. So you don't talk about it.
Question. Two questions. One, have you talk to your family about this other than him? No. Okay. So they'll be, this is the first time they're hearing this as well. If they listen to this. Okay. Two, you wouldn't instigate conversation. You wouldn't instigate this conversation with someone, but if someone came to you and talked to and asked about you, would you have told them?
I don't know. I mean, like, it depends like who, what, and how. Like, I think the time when I finally spoke to Em about it, I said the mood was right. Like, it was I felt very safe. We're at home, we had a nice day.
Yeah,
I think we had a glass of wine, just felt comfortable enough to say, be vulnerable. Yeah. So like, if it was someone in like, if someone came to me wanting to speak to me about their depression, for example, I'd probably feel comfortable sharing. It's just like, hey, I know how you feel.
Right. Okay.
But if someone just had a conversation about it, I probably wouldn't. Wouldn't
so it's really, so that when it comes to the why more, I would say more males.
Mm.
I don't want to assume that, but I'd say my more males don't. Why wait? My more males don't speak up. It's really like, it's like who's gonna shoot first? Or who's gonna speak first? Like, it's a game of chess until someone says something. Like, no one's gonna say anything, right? Until
someone lets their guard down or takes the first step. Yeah. I think it just goes back to like, you're never going to want to speak to somebody about it because you yourself in your state do not value your own care and mental health enough to bring it up. Like, if it was me and I had this thing that I needed to tell you, you'd be like, oh my gosh, please tell me because I want to help you, I want to love you, I want to care for you. But you don't think you're worth that same thing because you're depressed, because you think you're a piece of shit, because you think that you're not worth anything. You're not going to bring it up because you think that somebody is not going to think that back to you. Well, you definitely will, Jeremy.
That's probably a very common reason why people don't. For me, it was more like I didn't want to tell you because, like I said, we had so much other shit going on.
You don't
want
to add on to the other shit for her.
And that's same for everybody. Yeah, like, and now thinking about it, like, I've got so many good male friends that if I bought anything like this to, would have been super supportive and super helpful. Yeah. It's like, we're actually pretty stupid for me to think that they wouldn't have been more supportive of it. But.
Yeah.
I think the theme is we make up our own stories
100%
about stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, if that's the story that you're telling yourself, I can tell you that it's not a good story. And just really care about.
I asked Em, and this question, it's a silly question. Do you have top recommendations or tips to help? Obviously, talking to a loved one is obviously a big one. But I mean, like Em mentioned, she likes to walk outside, for example. Is there something like a...
Yeah, so two things which I've touched on briefly is definitely speak to someone.
Yeah.
And I think that's the theme of this whole...
serious
20-minute conversation that we've just had is like, talk to someone. You'd be very pleasantly surprised how people react to you when you tell people you're struggling. People are very supportive. Everyone like I've ever mentioned to is surprised but super supportive,
especially in the gym.
Yeah,
especially Base 3. Mm. Not any gym, but Base 3 specifically, because you guys have
a shameless plug, Jeremy?
No. But you guys have created a very supporting, nurturing environment.
Yeah.
Yes, we do hardcore shit, but you know, Em, you're a big advocate of mental health, and Craig more so now as well. Like, you've created a very nice space with nice human beings that would for sure listen
Yeah. So that's definitely the main thing is talk to someone. Don't feel like you're putting your problems onto other people by sharing them. They're helping you, lightening the load. Doesn't weigh them down, it just lightens you. So definitely speak to someone. Speak to me, like, for sure. And the other one is, like, find something positive to attach yourself to. When you're in your darkest time, find something really bright that pulls you away, because that can literally just change your mind. Like, the thought process of going from, like, fuck, I want to kill myself, to, like, I've got Freddy at home. Like, that just pulls you straight out of it. And no matter what you're going through, or, like, how shit you think everything is, or how fucked you off, how big you've failed at everything, there's always going to be something positive you can pull yourself through.
Yeah, I like that.
Thanks for sharing.
Positivity.
Pleasure. Hope it helps. Like I said, I found it really hard to find the courage to speak to somebody, but it was the best thing I could have done for myself. So here if anybody needs.
Thanks.
I like that.
Reach out.
Cool.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Black Dog Diaries. And thank you, Craig, for sharing your experience despite having your reservations. It seems so weird that I had to sit and have this conversation with my husband on a podcast. And it's also weird that I learned so much from and about someone that I felt I knew so well. But that is the lesson. Over our 10 years together, I've known him to be a strong, steady character. But shit happens and things pile up on us, especially when we move through different life stages that have new priorities and responsibilities and that we may not be totally equipped to deal with. We are not linear. We ebb and flow, all of us. And it just reminds me that I should never not ask someone how they're doing just because I think I know them well and because they are always good, because one day they won't be. I should also never assume that anyone else is going to be able to open up so easily as me, or that they're going to approach things or deal with things in the same way that I would. There were a few bits in there where I projected my rationale onto him, which ended up being totally wrong. The way I thought about the situation was not the same way he did, and I was reminded that we all deal with our own shit so differently, and that when I'm supporting someone through a tough time, I should be a really good listener first. The final thing I wanted to bring up came from Craig assuming that him talking to someone was going to burden them. I mentioned it in the chat, but I want to reiterate it. You telling someone that you're going through a tough time or you asking for help does not burden the other person. Trust me on that. For the times that a friend or family member has come to me, I've felt nothing but gratitude for the fact that they cared about themselves enough to take action. It also made me feel cared for and special in a weird way, that they trusted me enough to come to me. And it also made me feel that I could go to them if I needed support. No matter what side of the fence you're standing on, sufferer or supporter, I really hope that helps. As you go off into your days, please remember to do something good for your mental health and to keep an eye on the mental health of your friends and family. Peace.